Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's comedy in this hour later on from Red Skelton from 1947, but first a broadcast of the Texaco Star Theater featuring Fred Allen, a CBS radio episode from January 9th, 1944.
The Fred Allen Show, specially rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies. Here are Fred Allen, Portland Hoffa, the Mighty Allen Art Players, High Low Jack and the Dame, and Al Goodman, his chorus and orchestra.
So here's the Coast Guard marching song. We sing on land or sea.
Week, ladies and gentlemen, the OPA designated Spare Stamp 2 a special pork stamp with a value of 5 points. We ask you now to mail in your 5 points for the ham you are going to get on this program tonight. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, you're not kidding about the ham surplus. I read that in Chicago last week, the packing plants turned out over 2 million yards of pork.
Oh, no. You mean pounds of pork, don't you, Fred?
No, yards of pork, Jimmy.
What is a yard of pork?
3 pigs' feet. We're starting off like, can't you top this? Or, you can't help topping this. You know, the paper said that Chicago was full of pigs. Razorback hogs were stropping themselves against leather stores in the street. Kitties were cutting holes in little hogs and making homemade piggy banks out there. Over 200,000 pigs were killed, Jimmy, and not one part of any pig will be wasted.
How do you mean?
Well, the inside of the pig is used for food, of course. Mm-hmm. The hide is used for luggage.
Yeah.
The bristles are used for brushes.
Yeah.
The pig's eye will be used.
The pig's eye?
The pig's eye will be used in conversation, of course. Nothing will be wasted. You know, when you were...
Mr. Alice!
Well, Portland... Well, Portland, what's new with you?
I heard Mayor LaGuardia's broadcast today.
Oh, did you? It makes a lively afternoon, doesn't it? The mayor is very popular now.
I know. It's his big hat.
His big hat?
Mm-hmm. People think he's in the show Oklahoma and can get them tickets.
Oh. Well, now, if we only had a joke, we could sort of finish this routine. Al Goodman leaps agilely, he should live so long, upon his podium to prepare for Hilo, Jack, and the Dame. Their song is Take It Easy.
When we dance, it's a moment ever so tender. Maybe you'd surrender, but you move too fast. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't you know it's more romantic when the dance is slow? Take it easy, take it easy. What's the good of feeling high when all the lights are low? Take it easy, take it easy. We've got lots of time ahead of us, the night is young. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't you know this music should be swayed instead of swung? Take your time, dance it with ease. Take your time, slow if you please. Take it easy, take it easy. You're too far away for me to whisper in your ear. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't you know you only get 3 pairs of shoes a year? Take your time, dance it with ease. Take your time, slow if you please. Take it easy, if you don't, I fear that our romance will hit a bar. Take it easy, you know you're not supposed to make a rumba jump. So take it easy, take it easy. Take it slow now if you want to please me. Take it easy, take it easy. If you want to hear the number, better learn to do the rumba gun club. Take your time.
Thank you, Hilo, Jack, and the Dame. Paper Doll, played by Al. A dash of confetti from Paper Doll, played by Al Goodman and his They're Not Sensations, But They're All My Relations orchestra. And now, Portland, what are you staring at?
Is that a bump on your head?
A bump, yes. A dimple backfire. Forget about my bump.
It's a pretty big bump to forget. How did you get it?
Well, it's rather a long story, Portland.
What happened?
Last Tuesday, I took a walk. I heard there was butter in the neighborhood, but I couldn't locate it. Well, I walked and walked and finally found myself in a shabby section of the city. As I went across the street, a brewery truck backed into the sidewalk. I heard the driver yell...
Hey, look out, that barrel's fallen.
Oh! The barrel hit me on the head, Portland, and I was out cold. The next thing I remembered, a policeman was there. I heard the driver saying to the policeman...
It was an accident, officer. A barrel of beer rolled off me truck and knocked this guy out.
Look at him floating around in that foam. What a wonderful way to die.
I bet he can hear the angels playing Sweet Adeline on them harps.
Oh.
Come on, driver. We'll carry him into this cabin.
Okay, I got his feet.
Oh.
Upsy-daisy. Open the door now.
Okay.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave me, Steve? Archie, the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. Huh? There's no customers here tonight, Duffy. Well, these rainy nights, who wants to go out and lay in a gutter? Huh? We should put a marquee over the gutter. That's a good idea. Well, there was a couple of people in here. Yeah, the Siamese twins. Very nice couple. They bought a glass of beer. Huh? I put two heads on it.
All right, lift him up now.
Yeah, handle him tenderly.
Oh.
All right, lay him on this free lunch counter.
Hey, wait a minute. What is... Just a second, Duffy. Two guys just carried in a drunk. Look, I'll call you back.
Move the coleslaw, officer.
Oh.
Okay, I'll put his feet down.
Hey, look, what goes on here?
Hello, Archie.
Look, Clancy, will you tell your needle-nosed friend here that this ain't no bum shelter?
Shh. Archie, he's unconscious.
He's still a bum. Why'd you leave him where he got that load, Clancy? Remember our slogan. This is where the elite meet to eat, not where the riff meet the ref.
Hey, Archie, he got conked by a barrel of beer I was delivering in here.
Oh.
Try and revive him, Archie.
I think it's too late, Clancy. It looks as though Richard Moore has set in. However, we will have at a try. I'll get out my first aid book here.
Well, in that case, I'll call an ambulance.
Look, Clancy, before you go, take his head out of the potato salad. He might come to and start eating.
Hello,
Finnegan.
Oh, gee, I'm hungry. Hey, can I have some of that on the counter?
Finnegan, that is human.
Yeah, it's a big one, ain't it? Hey, Archie, how many points did it cost you?
Finnegan, you talk like a headhunter. In this case, a pig's head hunter. But leave us concentrate on the first aid book here.
Yeah.
Let's see now. This appendectomy, chilblains, epilepsy. Wait a minute now. This guy was hit by a beer barrel. Here it is. Beery.
He's moving, Arch.
He's moving?
Yeah.
Let's see, the book says the victim must lie perfectly still. Uh-huh. Finnegan, hand me that bung starter. Thank you.
Hey, who are you? How did I... Oh.
Hey, this book is wonderful. He's perfectly still again.
Oh, he sure looks pale.
Yeah, he must be losing blood. Let's look under L here. Losing blood. Losing blood, apply a tournament.
Tournament? What's a tournament, Arch?
It's a thing the Boy Scouts invented. You put a piece of cloth around them and you twist it.
Oh, yeah.
Finnegan, reach down and hand me my shirt tail.
Here's the bar rag, Arch. It's cleaner.
I haven't had my shirt tail on the bar, Finnegan. Now, the book says apply tournament to point nearest the injury.
Well, he got hit in the head.
Well, then we gotta stop the blood from going to his head. Twist the bar rag around his throat.
Yeah.
Give it a good twist, Finnegan.
Hey, Arch, wait a minute. You know what you're doing?
Finnegan, you are talking to a man who for 4 years has studied Dr. Kildare pictures. twist it tighter, Finnegan. Boy, look at that color come back to his face.
Yeah. It's nice and blue.
Think you better loosen the tournament, Finnegan. You're ripping the bar rag.
This is the last time I'll come on Truth or Consequences.
Finnegan, he's raving. It's a cure case of dementia's prefix, sir. Tighten the tournament again, Finnegan.
Okay, Arch. That does it, Arch. He's back to that nice glue again. Hey, do you think he'll live, Arch?
Well, Finnegan, that is a matter that's strictly between him and Mother Nature.
Hey, Arch.
Yeah.
What do you say we roll the guy?
Finnegan, please. At Duffy's, we have ethics. We don't roll a customer until he has been taken drunk. And besides, we haven't got time. He's coming to him.
Right. Hey, look, he's trying to talk.
Loosen up the tournament.
Oh, my head. Oh, my head. Look at my suit. Where am I?
You're in Duffy's. I'm Archie, the manager, speaking.
Oh, what am I doing in this steam fitter store club? Somebody will pay for this.
You're right. And here is your bill, sir. $18.50, including first aid cover charge and state tax.
Now, wait a minute. $18.50 in this Mickey Motel? This Sandhog Salon? Do you know who I am? I'm Fred Allen.
Finnegan.
Yeah?
Mark the cash register. You don't know this guy. This guy would throw a termite onto a lame man's cane.
Now listen, you. Listen, that's an... I'll slap you flatter than Jack Benny's archers. I'll pull your nose down your vest so fast you'll think it's a zipper. Why, you emaciated shield for Bacchus, if I come...
Alan, don't finish by getting off the phone. I don't want to miss a word of it. Hello, Duffy. Fred Allen's insulting me here. Well, a barrel of beer fell on him. First time what? First time the drinks was ever on Allen, huh? Well, look, Duffy, I'm afraid the guy is going to sue. Huh? Yeah, that's a good idea, Duffy. Okay. Fred, Duffy's got the solution.
What?
The French maker Bury owes us a barrel of beer, right?
Uh-huh.
They owe you for a clunk on a cunt, right?
That's right.
We're both going to collect.
How, Archie?
You and me is both jointly going to file suit against the French maker Bury of Greater Staten Island.
No, no, wait a minute. Not me. I'm not getting involved.
Rely me, Allen. Believe me. Come on in the back room. We'll plan our strategy here.
Wait a minute. Before we go in, I'll drop a nickel in the jukebox.
Oh, yeah. While we're talking, you can listen to me new song, Leave Its Face That We're in Love. Thank you.
Leave us no longer pretend that you are merely a friend, for it is wrote in the stars above. Though we have tried to act calm.
Well, Portland, I finally got out of Duffy's. 2 days later, I got a subpoena to appear in court. Archie was waiting for me outside. When we got into the courtroom, Archie said...
Sit down here next to me, Allen. Hand me my briefcase there. I gotta get out some habeas corpuses.
Your briefcase? Well, you said Duffy was getting me a big lawyer.
Duffy's lawyer got pneumonia, so I'm taking over.
But, Archie, what do you know about law?
What do I know about law? For 10 years, I worked for Mulebacker, Bushwhacker, Millstone, and Briggs.
Doing what?
I used to paste the ipsos on a factos.
But, Archie...
Client, here's the judge.
Court is now open. First case, Fred Allen versus the fine schmeckup Rory of Greater Staten Island.
Get a load of that cappy, Judge. This case is in the bag.
Is counsel for defense, the fine schmeckup Rory, present?
I'm right here, Your Honor.
Well, Uncle Phil, I didn't know you were sitting on this case.
Well, Julius, my favorite nephew. Well, I thought you were still at law school.
What is this, one man's family?
If you're not the judge's son, Archie, we're sunk.
The case is open, Julius. Uncle Phil, I mean, Your Honor, why waste the court's time? My client, the fine Schmecker Brewery, will buy the plaintiff a new suit and close the case.
The court appreciates the defense's attitude, nephew, counselor. And so I hereby close this case.
I object.
Archie, I'm getting a new suit. I'm satisfied.
You're getting a new suit, but who's paying Duffy for that barrel of beer and me for the first aid bill? I object.
Order in the court. You in the dirty white apron. Did you open your bazoo?
Not yet, but that is irreverent material and unreasonably facsimile. My client demands a trial.
No, Archie, wait a minute.
Very well, you asked for it. The case is reopened. Go to it, Julius. I'm all for you.
Well, there goes my new suit.
Quiet, you. Proceed, Julius.
Your Honor, I will prove to you that this man, Fred Allen, hijacked a Feinschmecker truck, tried to steal a barrel of our nectar Weehawken lager beer, and when this contemptible crumb was discovered, he hid in a nearby saloon.
I object.
Well, it's about time.
What's your objection?
Duffy's is not a saloon, it's a tavern. Yes, proceed.
But Archie, he called me a contemptible crumb. That's slander.
I know, but we might have a tough time proving it.
Order in the court. Quiet, loudmouth.
Your Honor, am I recognized by the court?
Yes, shyster.
Thank you. I wish to present my first witness, Clifton Finnegan.
Clifton Finnegan? Clifton Finnegan?
Finnegan, wake up.
Oh, where am I?
You're in court.
Oh, in court. Guilty, Your Honor.
Stand.
Plaintiff's
attorney, take the witness.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Finnegan, is it not a fact?
Yes.
I object.
I ain't asked him nothing yet.
Objection sustained.
Your Honor. Quiet. Your Honor. Your Honor.
Quiet. All right. That concludes the testimony. Your witness, Julius.
Now watch yourself, Finnegan.
Don't worry about me.
Mr. Finnegan, isn't it true that you are completely unqualified to be a witness, as you are a subnormal chowderhead, a dope, and a low-grade moron?
Hey, Arch.
What?
He's got me cornered.
Your Honor, this trial is a farce. I demand to be heard. Let me take the stand.
Think you can handle him, Julius?
With your help, Uncle Phil? Yes, I think so.
Proceed, Julius. Is it not true, Mr. Allen, that you had to be carried into Duffy's on the day in question?
Yes. The driver yelled, "Look out." The beer barrel hit me on the head and broke open. I was carried into Duffy's unconscious.
Aha! And is it not true that approximately one half of that barrel of beer had soaked into your suit?
Yes.
You have a liquor license?
No.
There he stands, Your Honor, a confessed criminal.
A confessed criminal?
You admit carrying half a barrel of beer on your person into the saloon. By your own words, you're guilty of violating federal law 65B.
What is that?
Transporting liquor without a license.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I object.
Are you kidding? Court finds the prisoner guilty as charged.
Now, wait a minute, Your Honor. Guilty? What about my lawyer's defense?
I'll give him 2 minutes. Get going, stupid.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. As I stand here in defense of my client, I hope the court will remember the words of the shining legal light, Mr. Anthony. I quote him to wit from a recent broadcast, whereas no man is guilty until he is presumed innocent. And then, not until the jury peers on him.
Do you deny that the barrel of five speck of beer in this case is still in your client Allen's clothes?
Am I to refute the obvious?
Do you deny that the beer is still the property of the five speck of brewery?
I demur, but with dictum ad nauseasima.
Well, honey swarky molly pops of a beta.
True, but the caveat emptor sic transit, don't forget that.
Well, under duress, yes, but null plussi the replevity puribus mandamus on a phronostat.
Your point is well taken, I assume.
Now, Archie, what happened
well,
here?
Take off your clothes, Alan. Feinschmecker gets your suit.
My suit? How can I go home?
I got custody of the beer barrel. You can go home in that.
Oh, I get it.
The Fred Allen Show is rebroadcast especially for the men and women in the United Nations Armed Forces. Now, Armed Forces Radio presents an after show featuring the music of Al Goodman and his orchestra.
So high, I think of someone I love.
The Fred Allen Show, or the Texaco Star Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from the 9th of January, 1944. You're listening to an hour of comedy from radio's past on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lefonier. Now time for the Red Skelton Show. At a time when the program had been on the air for 5 years, part of NBC's Tuesday night lineup at 10:30, where over 25 million people were tuned into this broadcast called Jealousy, from January 28, 1947.
Program starring Red Skelton with David Forrester and his orchestra, our singing star Anita Ellis, Gigi Pearson, Verna Felton, Pat McGee, and Wonderful Smith, and yours truly, Rod O'Connor.
Evening, folks.
It's a pleasure to bring you Metro Golden Mayer's popular comedian and the star of the Raleigh Cigarette Program, Red Skelton. Oh.
Thank you very much. Evening, folks. How are you? Well, gee, I had a lot of fun. That's yours now. You can pick it up.
Okay, swell.
Did you lose your place, or are you just going to ignore me tonight?
Say, Red, I hear you were up north. How'd you find San Francisco?
Oh, I just switched on the fog lights, and there it was.
Well, Red, is all this talk about the San Francisco fog true?
No, during the time I was there, I didn't see any fog at all.
You didn't?
Oh, the weather wasn't clear enough.
Well, you didn't have to happen to stop at Alcatraz, did you?
No, our class doesn't hold its reunion until next spring.
Well, where else did you go?
Went down and had dinner at the Fisherman's Wharf.
What'd you have?
Huh?
What'd you have?
An omelet. Hey, I went fishing. I caught a little fish about an inch long, see?
What'd you do with it?
Fried it over a pilot light.
Well, say, Red, did you see Earl Wilson's column in the Daily News last Thursday?
Yep.
He's very nice to you.
Yes, he was, and it was a swell write-up. You know, Earl's been my favorite columnist.
Since when?
Since last Thursday. Hey, on the train, I read Earl Wilson's latest book, Pike's Peak or Bust. You know, I'd enjoyed the book more, but the guy next to me kept reading right along with me.
Gee, that always irritates me when some nosy guy reads over my shoulder.
That's the way the guy beside me felt, too. Hey, did you ever ride on a bus or a streetcar and have people look over your shoulder and read out of your paper? I don't mind that, but when they start cutting out clippings, that's... Hey, you know, Pike's Peak or Bust is really is a swell book. It's funny and it's clean. It's so clean. In fact, it's the first book that Boston has read in 5 years.
Well, does it give the inside dope on a lot of celebrities?
Yeah, it gives a lot of inside dope on a lot of inside dopes. No, all in all, it's really a good book, and it's written by a great newspaper man who always can see good in his fellow man, and that's Earl Wilson. Anita Ellis sings Guilty.
What'd you do?
Is it a sin? Is it a crime? Loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you. Maybe I'm wrong, dreaming of you, dreaming the lonely night through. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say after I've taken the blame? You say you're through, you'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you dear like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty.
Our skeleton scrapbook of satire will be on jealousy.
Good evening. My name is Jealousy. I am a professor in your school of thought. I teach four subjects: envy, resentment toward and fear of rival, insistence on exclusive ownership, skepticism of all but one's personal actions. When I have taught you how to be proficient in each subject, you will receive your diploma of unhappiness. Chapter 1, Fear of Rival.
My name's Willie Lumpluck. There's never been a jealous bone in my head. Where in my head? My first association with jealousy came about when I was born. My mother was jealous of other mothers. They had children. I came from a pioneer family of no goods. My great-great-grandfather came to America during the Revolution. And he was thrown out of the country during a party in Boston when he spiked the tea. As I said before, I've never been of a jealous nature. Or I might resent what other people have, but I ain't jealous. If you care to hear my sad story, Bub?
Why, sure.
Then lend me your ears. You didn't have to hand them to me, did you? My trouble started one night at the club. It was a very classy joint. It was so exclusive, they threw the owner out three times. I had just finished a glass of milk. I poured it into the cuspidor. I have nothing against these Jersey highballs. As a rule, I never touch the stuff. But somebody dropped an olive in the glass and had told me it's what I usually ordered. But it was suffering with smog. Well, I threatened the head waiter. He told me, and I quote, "If you come behind this counter," he says, "I'll crown you." Well, after the coronation, I met an old friend of mine.
Howdy, Willie.
Well, as I live and breathe sin. If it ain't my old friend, Long Thompson. How you been, Lord?
Well, howdy, Willie. Yeah. You're looking in the pink of condition.
Yeah, and I got bloodshot eyes to match, too. What you doing in town, huh?
Oh, I've got a new car, and I thought I'd go for a drive.
You got a new car, huh? I wouldn't have one. Just so they can charge you a lot more money, they've added a lot of useless accessories like wheels and brakes. They're not like the old cars, you know.
You aren't by any chance jealous because you don't have one.
I wish you hadn't have said that.
Why?
Because it's the truth. I've been driving that thing I got for years now.
Well, what kind of car have you got?
It's a 1928 one-door sedan.
Never heard of a one-door sedan. Who made it?
A truck. Some wise guy wouldn't pull over. So I told him off after I pulled my head out of his taillight. I said, you get out of that pool, that truck there, and I'll mess you up a bit, I said. Well, sir, what do you think it is? A woman truck driver.
Did you mess her up?
My case comes up Thursday.
Well, it's good to see you. What's that you have in your hand? Something for your wife?
Yeah, it's a bunch of flowers for my wife, Gigi. See, some gall darnias they are.
But they're all withered up.
Yeah, it's my fault that they're withered, you see. They were beautiful a few minutes ago, but I smelled them and I accidentally exhaled instead of in there.
Well, where's the little woman now?
Well, last time I saw her, she was going to a beauty shop trying to get that 1947 look about her. She's 47. She wants to look 19.
Say, didn't she used to go with Mel Bernstein?
Yeah. Why you mention him?
Oh, no reason. Just happened to see him in town this afternoon.
Mel's in town?
Well, what's the matter, Willie?
Well, I wonder if that's why she didn't get mad when I said I was going out tonight.
Oh, now don't go getting any silly ideas. You aren't jealous, are you?
Me? No. I'll see you later.
You are jealous.
No, I always turn green at this time of the day.
Now, look, Willie, forget that guy. I'll admit he thinks he's quite a ladies' man, but believe me, he's his own worst enemy.
Not while I'm alive. Well, I left the club and I drove home, stopping on the way to clean the telephone poles from my windshield wipers. All I could think of was Mel Bernstein. Mel Bernstein, louder and louder, it kept wrecking through my brain. And finally, I pulled up in front of my California home, a Quonset hut surrounded by good humor men and lifeboats. There was a dim light on in my apartment, so I parked my car. I hoped I parked on the right side of the street. When you park between these Studebakers, it's pretty hard to tell. I walked up the stairs, and I walked in. Walked down the hall, and suddenly I was in front of my apartment, the one with the eviction notice on the door. Number 66. And then I heard voices in the apartment, and something inside of me snapped. I swallowed my bubble gum. Voices, someone said.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too, my dear. Let me take you away from this place.
Sound like Chuck Boyer to me. Suddenly, everything in front of me went black. Somebody hung a hat over the keyhole. I tried to break down the door, running through my body against it. And I backed up and running through my body against the door. Open the door, I cried. Richard wasn't there, so it didn't open. Like a madman, I turned the doorknob. It was unlocked all the time. And there before me stood a terrified woman, and a horrified man stood by the window, and then my bubble gum popped and knocked me flat on the floor. I entered the room. A man came in after me.
Mr. Lop-Lop, what happened?
Ain't you been paying attention? I caught this man talking to my wife.
Oh, this ain't your wife.
Ain't this apartment 66?
No, this is 6.
Good heavens, my jealousy's making me see double again.
And his Rawley Cigarette Orchestra play a waltz from Broadway's newest musical hit, Finian's Rainbow, and it's called When I'm Not Near the Girl I Love.
Chapter 2, Jealousy with Circumstantial Evidence and an Imagination. Junior got Grandpa in Dutch and his grandma in Jealousy's clutch. The result of his prattle was almost a battle, till he admitted he tattled too much.
Oh, boy, look on the top shelf of that cupboard up there, cookie jar. That means there's a fresh supply of homemade manhole covers in there. Maybe Grandma wouldn't mind if I took a few. Then again, she might get mad because she warned me about climbing up on this cupboard. She said I might fall out and hurt myself. I better not take any. Then on second thought, may as well take a couple, being I'm up here anyway, you know.
Junior!
Yeah, well, don't yell! You scared me!
You're in the cookie jar.
How do you know? Me feet sticking out?
I've told you about getting in that cookie jar.
Yeah?
Now get down from there.
Okay, Geronimo!
Wait till I get the ladder.
Well, I can't change my mind in midair, kiddo.
Now I'll have to punish you for disobeying.
Well, now, if I'm going to put you through any trouble, kiddo...
Oh, you hit me. You hit me. You broke me with a back. You broke me back. You hit me and broke me. So will we act? You broke me. So will we act?
Then why are you holding your head?
Because I don't know where me so will we act is. You hit me again, I'm going to tell on you, I will.
You're going to tell what?
I will tell everybody that you used to be Madame Muller, the woman heavyweight wrestler champion of the world.
Junior, I was no such thing.
Oh, no? Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this match is Atomic Annie.
Sid fouls me!
She does it every time. She...
I knew your father shouldn't have laughed when the stork knocked at the door and said, trick or treat.
Yeah. Hey, Grandma, did the stork bring me?
Yes, I guess they were out of babies that day.
Yeah.
When I was your age, I didn't do things like you do.
No, oh, backward child, huh?
You're getting too big for such tomfoolery.
No?
I want you to take an oath that you won't cause any more havoc.
Okay, I will give you me scout salute.
Well, why are you holding your nose?
I belong to the skunk patrol.
Don't be silly.
Yeah.
Repeat after me.
Repeat after me.
I, Junior,
the widow whacked it, I
do solemnly swear.
Oh, no, you don't. You ain't tricking me into a beating. No, I'm not swearing. I ask two widows to swear.
Come on.
Hmm?
Do solemnly swear that I will never again do another wrong deed. Well, say it. What are you waiting for?
That I will never again do another wrong deed.
What was that explosion in the living room?
There were some delayed action bombs in the goldfish bowl, I thought.
Junior.
What?
What have you got in your pocket?
A pretty widow box.
Let me see it.
It fell out of Grandpa's a hole in his pocket.
There wasn't a hole in his pocket last night.
There is now.
Let's see.
What is it?
Oh, a wristwatch.
A wristwatch?
Junior, was there a card with this?
No, there wasn't, but Grandpa said something about it being for a lady named Annie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're very ripe. You look green all of a sudden, Grandma. Hey, is that watch better than yours, Grandma?
Well, look for yourself.
This is.
This one has gold hands.
This is yours. These pan hands.
Junior.
Hmm?
What does your grandfather usually do when he takes you for walks?
Well, he puts me up on the ice cream counter and he says, you stay here, kiddo. I'll be right back. And then he goes next door to a sawmill.
A sawmill?
Yeah, I think so. It's a sawdust on the floor, anyhow. Maybe it's a music shop. Maybe it's a music shop. He says he's going in there to wet his whistle. And he does, too.
Mm-hmm.
He wets his whistle.
How do you know, dear?
Because I followed him, but they wouldn't let me in. They said, we don't allow minors in here. Well, I says, don't allow minors in here. Goodness me. Why you say that to me? I don't even know John L. Lewis. But no soap, they wouldn't let me in.
Did you see your grandfather in that place?
Yes, I peeked through the swinging doors, I did.
Do they have waitresses in there?
You mean girls that wait on tables?
Yes.
Little short skirts and little white aprons?
Yes.
Red fingernails long?
Yes.
No, I didn't see any of them.
No blondes?
Blondes. Everybody talked about the blondes. Blondes. Don't the widow redheads and brunettes ever had no fun?
Oh, goodness. Have you ever seen him, well, say, affectionate toward anyone?
Well, now that you mention it, yes. I see him once put his arms around Mabel's neck.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, I knew it. I noticed the sudden change in him, especially toward me. What does Mava look like?
She's beautiful. She got long legs.
Junior!
Well, she has, I said, on her back one day. She won the Kentucky Derby one year.
What on earth are you talking about?
Mabel, the policeman's horse.
A horse? Then why don't you say what you mean?
You yelled at me!
Oh, I'm sorry, Junior.
No, you're not.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was just in a jealous rage.
In a jealous rage?
Bless his little heart.
Yeah, bless your heart.
It won't happen again.
Yeah, well, you better not, or you'll be hearing from me on Mr. Anthony's program. And I will mention names,
well,
too.
Tell me some more about your grandfather.
Well, no, kiddo. Yes. You fly into one of them jealous rages again, and you'd better be careful accusing Grandpa. A man don't like to be accused of things that he hasn't done and wish he had. I'm sorry. Besides, we informers ain't in this squealing business for our health, you know.
Well, I'll give you a penny.
Well, thanks, sporty. Not enough.
2 pennies?
No, if we're going up that slow, we're going to be here all day, you know.
Look, tell me all you know,
yeah?
And I'll buy you that toy police car in the 5 and 10.
Kind of the policeman use?
That's right.
With a horn that goes beep, beep.
Yes.
Machine gun goes ah.
That too.
And the siren goes woo.
It certainly will.
Why do I want to sing like that? I can make all them noises myself.
Grandfather.
Yeah.
I mean, you're spoiled like him.
Well, I don't see how he could be spoiled. The cops keep him in the can most of the time. Does I get the nickel or don't I?
I don't have any change.
Well, I have change. Me piggy bank's turned out to be a hog.
Okay, I'll give you a nickel.
Okay, warden, I'll turn state's evidence now.
Now, think hard, Junior.
Yes?
Who is this Anna your grandfather got the watch for?
He said somebody's coming.
Here he comes. Here he comes. Give me your hand.
What are you going to do, throw me at him?
No. I just want him to remember us as we stand here betrayed. And when he walks into this house, we are going to walk out forever.
You better lay off them double features, kiddo.
Junior, dear. I want your grandfather to see how much he's hurt us both.
Huh?
Now try to look as sad as you can.
Okay.
Oh, no, don't look like that. We don't want to scare him to death.
Well, maybe you would like for me to give you a couple facial auditions or something. Goodness. Hey, where are we going? How are we going to live if we leave here?
I don't know what I'll do, but maybe I could get my old job back.
I'm afraid there ain't much demand for the floor door girls this year, kiddo.
Well, to make a living for us, I'll probably have to work as a scrub woman.
Oh, that would be fun. I could be you mop.
Yes.
We could take your fortune along too, lady.
Hello, Verna, dear.
Hey, there's a riot squad here. You better stand by for action.
Where have you been, Pat?
At the office.
Mm-hmm. Take a tip from me, Grandpa. Keep moving him around. Move around.
What's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm the same loyal wife I've been for 30 years.
Yes?
What's she crying about, Junior?
That's a pretty sad speech she just made, I thought.
Yes, my dear, that's right. You're the same girl I married 30 years ago today.
Don't try to soft-soft me.
Soft-soft
you.
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 Today.
Today?
Yes. Today's our 30th wedding anniversary.
That's who the watch was for. Anniversary. Anniversary.
Forgive me, dear. Oh, dear. I was all ready to accuse you of something you didn't do.
Yeah.
And I was all set to go out into the world of my own.
Yeah.
A helpless old lady.
Your poor old woman.
Never to see you again.
Never to see you again.
Oh, no.
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 What are you crying about?
She scared her job.
Remember, we'll all be back for the next Tuesday at the same time. Until next Tuesday, then, this is Red Skelton saying goodbye now. Thanks for listening. And tune in early next week for the Look Award on Bob Hope Show.
Good night, folks, you all.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Red Skelton Show, on Tuned To Yesterday from the 28th of January 1947 on NBC. And that wraps it up for this hour of comedy on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Libonier. It's been a pleasure.